Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Stubborn Attachments, A Vision for a Society of Free, Prosperous, and Responsible Individuals by Tyler Cowen, is a compact argument for treating long-run economic growth as a central moral priority. Rather than framing prosperity as a purely technocratic goal, Cowen positions sustained growth as a way to protect and expand human freedom, widen opportunity, and enable societies to handle future risks. The book blends moral philosophy, economics, and public policy, asking readers to consider how present-day choices affect countless future people. Cowen does not present growth as a slogan, but as a guiding commitment that should influence debates about regulation, innovation, education, immigration, and social insurance. He also confronts common objections, including environmental concerns, inequality, and the fear that focusing on growth ignores compassion. Written for general readers while engaging serious policy questions, the book invites a reordering of priorities, judge institutions and reforms by whether they support a dynamic, open society that becomes richer and more capable over time. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, growth as a moral commitment, not just an economic metric. A core topic is Cowen's claim that sustained economic growth should be treated as an ethical imperative. The argument begins with a simple observation. Even small differences in long-run growth rates compound into enormous differences in living standards, health, and resilience. Because the future contains vast numbers of people, policies that modestly improve growth can create huge moral payoffs over time. Cowen frames this as a form of moral seriousness about the future, where decisions today shape the size and quality of the opportunity set available to later generations. This perspective shifts debates away from short-term redistribution versus efficiency and toward the deeper question of how to preserve and expand the productive capacities that make many social goals achievable. Growth is presented as compatible with dignity and fairness because it increases the total ability to fund safety nets, support scientific progress, and respond to crises serious. The moral framing also challenges readers to evaluate trade-offs honestly. A policy that feels compassionate now may, if it slows innovation or investment, reduce the ability to alleviate suffering later. In this view, growth is a foundation for many other moral aims, not a rival to them. Secondly, a two-part ethic: maximize sustainable growth and protect basic rights. Another major topic is the structure of the book's ethical proposal, often described as combining a strong presumption in favor of maximizing sustainable economic growth with a firm commitment to basic rights and liberties. Cowen is not advocating growth at any cost. Instead, he argues for an approach that is stubborn about the long run while remaining constrained by liberal principles. The rights component is crucial because it sets boundaries. Coercion, censorship, or discriminatory rules are not justified simply because someone claims they would raise output. At the same time, the growth component resists the tendency to treat prosperity as one goal among many that can easily be traded away for symbolic wins or short-run comfort. This two-part ethic helps organize policy thinking. It supports openness to markets, entrepreneurship, and experimentation, while also emphasizing institutions that limit abuse and protect individual autonomy. The combination aims to avoid two common failures: technocratic utilitarianism that ignores liberty and moralistic politics that praises good intentions while allowing stagnation. By integrating rights with growth, Cowen offers a practical moral compass for policymakers and citizens, defend a free society, and build the conditions that allow it to become more capable, more innovative, and more supportive of human flourishing over time. Thirdly, policy implications for innovation, institutions, and openness. The book translates its moral framework into a broad set of policy implications centered on dynamism. If long-run growth is morally weighty, then institutions that foster innovation, competition, and knowledge creation become ethically significant. This points toward removing barriers that slow business formation, labor mobility, and the diffusion of new technologies. It also suggests prioritizing high-impact public goods, such as research, effective education systems, and infrastructure that reduces friction in commerce and collaboration. Cowen commonly emphasizes the importance of openness to trade, to ideas, and to talent, including immigration policies that attract capable people and allow skills to match opportunities. In this framing, regulation should be judged not only by immediate harms it prevents, but also by its effects on experimentation and the pace of progress. The topic also covers the role of stable, trustworthy governance and the rule of law. Predictable institutions encourage investment and cooperation, which in turn supports prosperity. The reader is encouraged to think in terms of marginal gains and compounding. Small improvements in institutional quality and innovation policy can yield large, long-run benefits. The message is not that every pro-business reform is good, but that a growth-sensitive lens changes what questions policymakers ask and what trade-offs they are willing to accept. Fourthly, responding to inequality, social safety, and human well-being, Cowan anticipates objections that a growth-first outlook ignores inequality or reduces morality to GDP. A key topic is how prosperity interacts with distribution and lived experience. The argument is that growth is often the most reliable engine for broad improvements in health, longevity, and opportunity, yet distribution still matters for social cohesion and fairness. Rather than treating redistribution as the primary lever, the book encourages policies that expand access to the mechanisms of advancement, good schools, occupational mobility, and the ability to move to high opportunity areas. It also makes room for social insurance as a complement to dynamism, since people are more willing to accept change and disruption when they are protected against catastrophic downside risks. The focus is on designing supports that do not inadvertently freeze the economy or create dependency traps. This topic highlights an important moral nuance. A society can be compassionate in ways that reinforce growth, for example, by investing in children's development, improving health systems, and lowering barriers that keep people from contributing. The broader claim is that a richer society is better positioned to address suffering, but only if institutions are built to translate wealth into widely shared capabilities and social trust. Lastly, future generations, climate trade-offs, and catastrophic risk. A final major topic is how to think about the future, not only the benefits of growth, but also the risks that could derail human progress. Cowan's moral stance places heavy weight on future generations, which changes how we evaluate policies on climate, technology, and public health. On climate in particular, the growth lens pushes readers to weigh both environmental harms and the opportunity costs of policies that significantly slow development. The issue becomes finding approaches that reduce emissions while preserving innovation and prosperity, such as supporting clean energy research, encouraging scalable low-carbon technologies, and improving adaptation capacity. The topic also extends to catastrophic risks, including pandemics, institutional breakdown, and other low-probability but high-impact events. A wealthier, more technologically capable society can invest in monitoring, preparedness, and resilience, while also having the administrative competence to respond effectively. At the same time, unchecked technological change can introduce new hazards. So the book invites a balanced view, maintain openness and experimentation, but build institutions that manage tail risks without strangling progress. The overarching idea is that responsible stewardship means maximizing the chances that the future remains both free and flourishing, because the moral stakes of the long run are enormous. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who care about ethics and public policy but feel dissatisfied with debates that focus only on immediate winners and losers. It will also appeal to entrepreneurs, economists, and civic-minded citizens who want a clear framework for judging reforms in education, regulation, innovation, immigration, and social insurance. The main benefit is perspective. By treating long-run growth as a moral priority, the reader is pushed to think in compounding terms, where small institutional improvements today can translate into much larger gains in opportunity, health, and resilience for future people. That shift can clarify personal and political choices, encouraging support for openness, experimentation, and rights-protecting institutions rather than zero-sum thinking. Compared with similar books on capitalism or economic policy, Stubborn Attachments stands out for its explicit ethical structure. It is not merely pro-market or anti-regulation. It tries to justify a principled commitment to sustainable prosperity while keeping firm boundaries around basic liberties. Its brevity and argumentative focus make it a worthwhile purchase for readers who want a concentrated case for why growth, properly constrained, belongs near the center of a responsible liberal society. If you would like to support Tyler Cowan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.